Last week we were reminded by Campbell of how the Lord Jesus Christ executes the office of a priest. He is the greater Melchizedek, the high priest forever. So the Lord Jesus, he was the perfect sacrifice for your sin, for my sin. He was the perfect sacrifice that would for the wrath of God against the sins of his people. And so the Lord Jesus was the perfect reconciler between man and God. And presently we were reminded of how the Lord Jesus is the perfect intercessor for those whom he has saved before the Father. The Lord Jesus perfectly represents his people as a priest, so perfectly covering them. He also, we remember 2 weeks ago, perfectly speaks God's word to us. This reveals God's will for salvation by word and spirit. The Lord Jesus is a prophet. Tonight, we think about how the Lord Jesus rules us. This is the final of the three offices that the Bible describes the Lord Jesus performing in that one great office, that one great work of his as a mediator and the only mediator between God and man. He is our eternal king. Our eternal king who subdues us, who rules us, who defends us, and destroys all the kingdom's foes. Short Catechism 26 goes, how does Christ execute the office of a king? Christ executed the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. Christ executes the office of a king. What does it mean to say that the Lord Jesus has a kingly office? Before we think about the actions, what does it mean to say the Lord is a king? Well, that is to say, God the Father appoints God the Son as a king over his people and also over the world. The Lord Jesus is appointed by God the Father as king. He has set all things under him. And he is king over his people, you and I, and also all the world. We read earlier, didn't we, in Psalm 2, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. The Lord Jesus Christ is a king over a particular people. Who are the particular people? Those whom the Father has given the Son. And here he is not like an external king or queen. He is a king over your very soul. Luke 17 and 21 tells us, the kingdom of God is where? The kingdom of God is within. The collection of the subjects of the king is called the covenant community. It's the church. Who are the subjects of the king? Well, us, the church. Here we say Jesus Christ is a king of grace, a king of grace and glory, presently grace. We know that wonderful love of the Lord to us that we did not deserve. Grace, grace upon grace. And one day, his glory will be consummated in the fullest sense in all the heavens and all the earth. And there he'll be king of glory. And his church, his people, his bride with him. At the wedding feast of the Lamb, as we were reminded this morning. Here he has a kingly power over us, internal in our hearts, a kingly power, subduing us, ruling us, defending us. Our lives are his. And it is it's not by a worldly might, with some sort of a great army. That's not how King Jesus has you. How does King Jesus have you? Through the stumbling block of the cross. We know a crucified king, a king who entered on into Jerusalem. The crowd shouted, what did they shout? Hosanna, Hosanna, through their palm leaves before him. They expected a king with might and power. But that is not the way of our king. No, he claims our very souls by blood shed and body broken. You have a king so perfect that he would die for you and did die for you. And now glorified, rose again. He continues the kingly office from the eternal places. Yet outside his people, the church, the Lord Jesus is also a king over the world. The Lord Jesus is a king over the world. Ephesians 1 and 22. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. He has made him head over all things for the benefit of who? For the benefit of the church. The Lord Jesus is a king of power. He is a king of power. He rules the world with supreme power and with perfect wisdom. He restrains enemies presently in the world, and he also conquers them. One day, fully. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And from this world, remember, he saves his church, his bride. Jeremiah 30 and 11. For I am with you to save you, declares the Lord. And I will make a full end of all the nations among whom I have scattered you. But of you I will not make a full end. So this evening, we're going to think about the actions of our king. The actions of our king and internal in our very souls, and also ending with the actions of our king external over all the earth. The catechism speaks to each of those, and the subduing and the ruling and the defending and the restraining and conquering. We'll go through each. First, he subdues us. First, our king subdues us. It is a strange thing that Sabbath upon Sabbath, I wonder if you noted that this is ever, Sabbath by Sabbath, the preacher urges you to take the crown off your own head and put the crown on King Jesus, to submit to him as ruler of your life. Sabbath by Sabbath, we preach the gospel. We call sinners to him, to that king. We tell people to, you must move. You have to move from being unsaved to saved. You must be born again. We preach the law, don't we? It exposes your sin. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not covet. We preach God's word, God's law. And intellectually anyway, people can see God's holy standard. You can see in a concept anyway, people do see, well, this is what God requires, and I have not matched up to that. You may not like that. You may not like that at all. But there it is. And what's more, then, we go further, don't we? We say, friend, you have an inability. You have an inability to perfectly keep that law. You have an inability to match God's perfect standard. Who, O Lord, could save themselves? And as we preach Sabbath by Sabbath the good news of the Lord Jesus, that perfect mediator between God and man, the one who teaches salvation, who makes reconciliation, who tonight, as we think about, rules as a king. Psalm 2 and 13, as we read out, tells us, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is our king, the one indeed who calls us indeed to be born again. The one who says, even last week, to Matthew, what did he say? Follow me. It is quite clear that we must believe in him. To reject him is to reject salvation. And yet, as urgently as Sabbath by Sabbath, the preacher says, kiss the Son. We know it will never be ours in our own strength. If it was down to me, if it was down to you, it would never be yours. You would never work the will to grasp it. And even if you did, it wouldn't really be yours. Your sin-tainted hands would then be tempting to work salvation. Where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us with that first action of the King, of our King, the Lord Jesus. The first action upon his people. He subdues us. He subdues us. We need the Lord Jesus to subdue us. Before we will submit, before we will heed his teaching, before we will have his intercession, we need, before he'll rule over us, first he must subdue our hearts. First he must do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. For you see, we are rebels. We are sin-sick rebels. We see the flag of the Lord, perhaps, and the company of the redeemed. And we see them over there, and we think to themselves, how can I get there? How can I get there? But to get there, friend, it's not on our own strength. To get there, to be counted, indeed, in the Lamb's Book of Life, he must capture our souls from this world. He must subdue us. He must claim us for his own. The Lord Jesus Christ is a mighty King who subdues a people with grace upon grace. He works regeneration in the sinner's heart. That's your testimony, Christian, isn't it, tonight? It's your testimony that we were once rebels, but Christ is greater than our rebellion. That by the Word and Spirit, the living Word, stormed into your heart and claimed them. You'll say, as I can say, Ben Preston, my name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. My sin was great, but my Savior is greater still. The rebel, as we sung even this morning in Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Christians tonight, you know that, don't you? You know the subduing power of the Lord. You knew what a rebel you once were, and how you wanted nothing to do with the gospel. And yet, King Jesus subdued you. What you never could do for yourself, he did for you. That's your experience. You were dead, but now you're alive. Your eyes and your ears, your very heart was closed. Now it's opened. Lord Jesus subdued you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King comes to you. Our King has come to us. He subdues his people. But the Lord Jesus Christ does not just subdue a people. He just does not gather a people then and forget about them. With the Spirit works submission, in other words, he subdues you and then you submit. The Spirit works submission. He then now rules them. He is a King who rules. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What will he do with that throne? He shall reign. He shall reign over the house of Jacob. The Lord Jesus is a King who reigns over the house of Jacob, over us, his bride. He is a King that rules with no mistakes. We must be like the crowd in Mark 7 and say, he has done all things well. I suspect, I know, there's probably a point in your life where you might have been tempted to say that about yourself. That I do all things well. Many in this world live thinking their good is good enough. But you know, when the Lord Jesus subdues you, there's no running away from his rule, is there? You can't escape. It's part and parcel of the Christian life. We acknowledge him and we submit more and more of our will, more and more of our will and our rule, for God's will and God's rule. We struggle with that. I know we struggle with that. I know. Young people particularly. When all the world seems to perhaps say to you that they know best. When your parents tell you constantly what you need to do. And yet here now the preacher is talking about another king to rule over you. Well, do not doubt the wisdom and the rule of this king. He is unlike anyone else. He knows his children completely. He knows what's best for you and me. Is that your confession? Is that your testimony? King Jesus knows what's best for me. Whenever you doubt and you wonder, know that, and perhaps you might say, what is happening? Yet his ways are not our ways. Praise God, he is our king, and he is making his ways our ways. He's bending us gently. He's drawing us to that greater and great sanctification. That putting off of the old man, the old woman, the old boy, the old girl, who wants to rule himself or herself. And putting on the new man, the new one, the new boy, the new girl, under Christ's rule, his reign. I trust that you know that. I trust that's your testimony. That you know the increase of his rule in your heart. That happens Sabbath by Sabbath. In word and in sacrament. In the means of grace. The ordinary. The simple. As the Lord sets it forth his word. As he calls us to private devotion. Family devotion. As he gives us to us. Treasures upon treasures from his word. Increases his rule. And then the old leaven of sin that kind of puffs up is being put to death. You know, through that fiery ordeal which comes to test the glory of your ruler. The glory of your ruler will be revealed in you. It will be refined even as pure gold. He rules us. He is a king who rules. He subdues, he rules. And he defends us, the catechism tells us. He defends us. Our king brings us into the kingdom. He rules his people in the kingdom. And he's not a king who allows attacks to triumph over his people in the kingdom. He defends us from every enemy. Satan, we're told, is a prowling lion. He wanders the earth to and fro, seeking to devour. But he will not devour the children of the Lamb. He is not their king. Their king is the Lord Jesus, our king. We are covered by his blood. And though Satan and his evil forces may tempt, may assault the Christian, but Jesus defends us, does he not? He says, this one is mine. This one is mine. 2 Chronicles and 16 verse 9 tells us, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, and they give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth and give strong support. He defends us. Believer, here tonight, take heart. Take heart. You have a king who saves you. You have a king who subdues you. You have a king who rules you. You have a king who defends you. Our church history, I mean the great sweep of church history, is a testimony to the defending of the Lord Jesus as his Holy Spirit works. From the time of the apostles, to the early church, to the medieval church, to the Reformation, through modernity, And now into 2019, we have a king who defends his people, defends them from error, from foolishness, who preserves the gospel. So that our faith may not rest on the wisdom of man, but the power and in the power of God. Such a defender we have. Such a true and eternal defender of the faith. The Lord Jesus defends you from all foes, external, but also internal. You know that. The Lord Jesus defends you from foes internal. He protects the old, protects you from the old man and the old woman that still is present in smoldering embers. We know this war that rages within our members. There is still that smoldering glow of sin in our flesh. He will protect you. He protects you. Your old self cannot defeat the Lord. Your old self, the old man, the old woman, will not defeat the Lord. For those whom the Father gives to the Son will come. And the one who comes to me, I will never send away. Tonight you can say, as I can say, I could never keep all your perfect laws. I could not keep Christianity. But the Lord Jesus, he keeps me. He defends me. He calls me unto himself. Now one day, when the Lord Jesus is keenly office is secure and eternal, he will not need to defend us from sin. This sin that's in our embers any longer. We will be in the resurrected body. So you will know, as I will know, the death of our body. The Lord does not spare his children here tonight that death, unless he comes again in glorious majesty on the day of the Lord. But you may know, unless he comes again, the death of the body. But you will not know, he defends you from it, you will not know the punishment of death. Why will you not know the punishment of death? Because he has borne it for you. You will not know the eternal fire, for you have been saved from it. You are defended by this king. The Almighty there has done for you what you could not do for yourself. In grace, the penalty is paid, and such a defender is our Lord. How could we have any more perfect a king than the Lord Jesus? Delivers our soul from death, our feet from failing, that we may walk before God in the light of life, even life eternal. The Lord Jesus puts all his foes indeed under his feet. The final part of the catechism speaks to his restraining, conquering all his and our enemies. We have seen how the Lord Jesus subdues us, rules us, defends us. Internal, the gathering of his people, the church. But also externally in the world, the Lord Jesus is a king, as I have said. Presently he restrains and one day conquers completely. His foes and all our foes. The psalmist sings in 56, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? When we have a king so perfect as the Lord Jesus, who restrains and conquers all his and our enemies, what can man or what can flesh do to the Christian subject of the king? Every earthly kingdom will come to an end. Every earthly kingdom will come to an end. There is no nation that is secure, that is eternal. There is no power, nuclear or otherwise, that will last forever. The North Koreans are taught that that dynasty, Kim Jong-un, is heavenly and eternal. They are wrong. It will come to an end. Americans, they love their constitution. But it will burn up one day. The British talk about the oldest parliamentary democracy in the world. But one day, the speaker will fall silent. Some talk about Christian countries. But countries are not saved, and they are not eternal. Every land, every nation, every earthly army, every earthly air force, every earthly navy, all the great powers that this world can muster, will come to an end. And not just in these realms, even spiritual forces in opposition to the Lord will come to an end. Every demon knows judgment will come on that great and awful day of the Lord. Remember, we had heard that from their very own lips as Jesus had crossed the Galilee and put out those two demons, those demons from the two men into the pigs. There is no earthly or spiritual force that will prevail against our King. He restrains and he conquers. The Lord Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess him, Lord. That's the song I was thinking about earlier. The great hymn of praise. And unlike the temporal earthly kingdoms or evil spiritual kingdoms of the air, of the Lord Jesus' kingdom, we are told there will be no end. So we do not fear men that die, or the Son of Man that will be made as grass. What a comfort in our life. What a comfort in our life. In a world of increasing pressure, to be sure that we are on the King's side. The truth that is ours, that the word of the Lord endures forever. And you know, that has comforted Christians throughout the ages. The body they may kill, but God's word abideth still. So I want us to take heart in 2019. There is no foe in this year that Christ cannot restrain. No foe that will escape his conquering gaze. The biblical truths that this catechism reveals concerning the kingly office of the Lord Jesus Christ should challenge us. It should challenge us. Why? Well, friends, we are born in our natural state in believing a lie, as if we were kings. That's our natural state. We're born that way. Even the original lie that we would be as gods. Remember that one. And our only redemption is found in this great and eternal King that we have magnified, and that's what we've done this evening, magnified. That's the only place we will know redemption. We must bow to him. He must subdue us, rule us, defend us. He cast down our foes. Are you the subject of this King? Or are you subject to the sin that reigns in you and damns you to the awful end? Kiss the Son, lest you perish on the way. To love this King, he must subdue you. There is no other way. And he is not a King that you will serve willingly in your own state, but by word and spirit, the will of God for salvation must be revealed and applied to you. And what a glorious submission then there is, that we'll be allowed to discern the spiritual things, to have the mind of Christ as he rules us. It's good for us, isn't it, to worship him as our King, who defends us, who throws down all opposition. It makes the Christian's heart sore to think that that is our King, to realize all the more his great power and majesty. And one day we'll know the truth of Scripture. What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Truly to Jesus Christ is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And amen. Amen, friends. Amen. Let's continue in our service of worship as we bring to the Lord our tithes and our freewill offerings.